Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have Dr. Denisa Weber with me, and I am so excited for you to get to know her. She is located in Dallas, Texas, has an amazing pediatric prenatal practice, is a mentor to many chiropractors, and is also an amazing mother. So I'm excited to dive deep into all of that with her. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. So good to see you again.
You too. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see you in April too.
I know. I'm pumped.
So tell the audience just a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and your journey into chiropractic. Did you open your practice right away? What did that look like?
Yes, I did open my practice right away. I graduated when I was 3 months pregnant with my daughter. Yeah.
Wow.
And I just knew I never could work for somebody else. And that's not to say that other people can't be that way, but I just knew that about me. I did not start practice right away. I started right after I had her at 2 months old. I thought that would be the best time to start a practice and know nothing about business. And I just was like, I will be here and people will come. Chiropractic is that badass and all that kind of stuff. And I learned very fast how I just didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, I was already in postpartum depression with my daughter. So that was a really rocky journey for the first, I would say, like year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God grew something that was very grassroots into something that was like a little bit bigger and gave me some confidence and all that kind of stuff. About like 4 years in, I started to reach out for help, which was a hard thing for me to do because I felt like I had all the answers as a student. I'm sure no one can relate.
No one feels that way.
No one can relate. And so I reached out for help and, you know, I just went from a very Martyrville kind of view of chiropractic to like, I need to get my stuff together. Like I need someone to actually show me some ropes, show me some practical ways to do things. And I joined a group and that was really helpful for me to kind of like just get my feet from under me and get used to like advertising or, you know, speaking in public or all that kind of stuff. And then it just went full steam ahead. Like it grew grassroots style. We've been in Highland Park for 11 years. We've been in Dallas. So I'm in practice for 14. Amazing. I told you before, but like, I wouldn't say like I was practicing for 14. Like I was like part-time practicing, but like as a football coach's wife, I was only able to really give my practice my all as far as like growing it versus just being in it and serving it between the months of January and July. And so with April taken out because of spring ball. So I was 17 years a coach's wife and it's a thing. It was me and the nanny.
I'm sure, especially in Texas, like you guys don't play around.
No, we won 3 state championships. You know, it was down to December 20th. It kept going and I was losing my mind. But it's something that's a part of my journey. It's also what has grown my practice. But in the meantime, I was already mentoring students even a few years in because I felt like it was really good for people to see what is happening with my story and how I can like kind of help people see like what to do next or what not to do next. I felt like that was kind of the gift I could give too.
Yeah. And that's what I say all the time is like our hardships or our lessons learned teach us way more than the times that we like knock it out of the park. We're like, oh, cool, we won. Moving on to the next thing. But if you fall flat on your face a few times, that's going to teach you a few lessons.
Yeah. The good, bad, and the ugly, like the bad and the ugly really just help you go, well, we're going to learn from this and move on. Yeah. And then from there, just like my kind of niche has been, yes, we serve prenatal and pediatric, but growing a family practice, but also teaching people how to authentically communicate chiropractic and through their own voice. So what I found was just a lot of carbon copy. You know, yes, we piggyback off of other people's confidence, but at the same time, it's very essential for you to find your authentic voice or people will not trust you. Totally. And then your brand is non-cohesive. And so that's where like communication and branding for me is a really big passion, is merging the two together And then that way, everything is an expression of what your brand is. And then mm-hmm. there is no, are they going to figure me out? Do mm-hmm. I not really know my stuff? Like, take the imposter syndrome out and just be yourself in practice. And then if you can dial that in, there's no stopping you. So
yeah, I love that.
That's what I love to like gift to people. I'm not the nerdiest of nerds in chiropractic land. Like I like
me
to,
neither. Like
I'm not
Dr.
that
Morgan
girl.
Andrews that like, you know, she could go on, even Dr. Amy Spolstra can go on forever yeah. about it. And I'm like, listen, it's going to change your life in the nervous system's involved. Yeah. But I'm such a good communicator, right? Back to your point. They don't probably want to know about the cortex and all this cool stuff, but yeah. they need to understand that you're going to help them. And so I love that you even brought up communication to begin with, because that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about is scale up is like, how can you communicate and become a really good speaker? Because that's essentially like delivering chiropractic is one aspect that you have to nail down as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner. Like, sure, I hope you're really good at your craft. We spent 4 years developing that, but that is not
Hang
going to
on get table.
You. Exactly. That's not going to grow your practice by any means. You know, even yeah. some of the valedictorians of our class that like, were so great at all of these book smarts, that has nothing to do with growing a business. And you better be getting these other resources, you better getting these other skill sets in order to really grow your practice. And I think speaking and communicating is a huge part of that for sure.
Huge, huge. And I'm not the most eloquent of speakers either, but I was given, like, people have given me a platform to speak in different places, and I and all over the place, and I really don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm more relatable to
totally.
People, and it's just being real. And so from that birth, like the conversation lab, and that's where that course came into play, is more like, hey, let me package something together and allow you guys to, you know, learn off of this. And what I've learned is it's more of like what I use it for training my associates.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to be packaging that differently. This go round is just more of like, if you want to go out on your own, great, you're starting, but, you know, like I think associates would be really benefit for this and authentically yeah. communicating for themselves and gaining that confidence inside somebody else's practice. But yeah, communication is everything. If you can't get them on the table,
yep.
sorry about you. Like, I'm glad yeah. you have good hands, but we could take all the adjusting things in the world. But yes, in business, oh my goodness. Like that's just the lover of simplification is a good communicator. And that's yeah. where, like, if you can dial it, if you can simplify it, and even like BJ Palmer talks about, you can't communicate what you don't own. And yep. so it's just more about like, how can we increase the depth here so then we can simplify the message?
Yeah. And I think too, your idea of being like, hey, maybe this is going to be for associates and you can package it differently and that sort of thing. You know, we talked a little bit at the beginning when you were like, oh, I just knew I couldn't work for somebody else. That really is only probably a 10% of the population that really should go out and start their own practice, you know? And I have a couple of associates, you have a couple of associates, and like, we are building these beautiful clinics to bring other doctors in and help build them up and help them get their feet wet and work on their communication and their skill set and their adjusting and their sales and everything else that comes with it. But I do think that that's important to touch on too, as we are two women that have really successful practices. It's okay if some of our listeners are listening to this and are like, hey, I don't want that. Because even before we started recording, we were talking about stress behind the scenes, right? Like
yeah.
being in charge of these bigger teams, being in charge of all the stress that it comes with owning a clinic. There are so many opportunities out there where people can come and work for other chiropractors that have these systems and successful metrics and offices already in place that they can come in and really step in and be successful right off the bat. But I love the point of whether you're an associate or whether you want to be a clinic owner, like you better figure out how to communicate so you can actually deliver the life-changing service that we know how to do.
Right. Totally. Absolutely.
So, let's talk a little bit about, you kind of got your feet wet slowly into entrepreneurship before you went full throttle. Have you always been in one location? What has that looked like over your 10, 12, 14 years, whatever it's been?
Yeah, this is now our fourth location. This is our fourth location. Initially started out in more of like downtown Dallas. I was very intimidated to open a practice in the place that my husband coached and where we kind of doing community, because I didn't think I could afford it.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive area in Dallas. And I was able to find a place and I operated. I'm very good at give me a small layout and I will like literally make your dreams come true in that aesthetic. Like I'll be the IKEA of practices. But I did it out of 400 square feet, was seeing hundreds in a day.
Amazing.
And then it moved and So I was able to expand. And then I got into 900 square feet, spent 7 years in that. And then I was able to do this build out, and it's 1600 square feet. And we're seeing immensely more, but I'm like, this feels like almost 5,000 square feet
compared to like
900 square feet. But it's like, that's like what it is here. And obviously my rent is like astronomical just for 1600 square feet. But I'm like, but we're in proximity, and proximity is like, and it's good for logistics and families in this area. And it's just, you know, God has definitely done his way of like showcasing it and then making me sweat and being like, hey, like, this is where I see you. And you're like, do you really see me there? Like, I don't know. Are we sure we're going to be able to do it? We're able to do it. But it's been really sweet. And that journey has been really sweet as we've gone along. So
I love that. My husband and I were just talking the other day about making some new hires within our companies. And I was like, oh, I don't know. That like seems like a risk. And you know, that's going to make me feel like my back's against the wall a little bit. And he was like, yeah, but you know, we love that, right? Like that's what entrepreneurship is. You just make hard choice after hard choice. And once it gets a little easy, you're like, oh, screw it. What can I do next that's going to stress me out?
Yeah. My husband is not like that at all. Like it is one of those things. I'm like, can't wait to get comfortable. And then it's like, when your country, you're like, let's just go for it.
Yeah, you're like,
oh,
wait a minute, I'm bored. Now what do I do?
Addicted to that.
That's like entrepreneurship in a nutshell. Well, I love your office now. I'm obsessed with the aesthetic. It is so, so beautiful. It is definitely office goals. So if the people listening haven't seen, they need to go creep on you and check it out. So you have two children, right? So what did that look like while you were building your practice?
So my daughter, that's how I know how old the practice is. Like she's turning 14, like in 2 weeks. And so the practice will be 14. And then my son is 6. He's going to turn 7 soon. But there's a big gap between her and him. There's about a 7-year gap. And that's because this is another child. Like, so this has earned it. It's like the Irish twin to my daughter.
Yep.
And it just takes a lot of nurturing. Like I won't subscribe to, I've been a great leader. Like I will not say there are things that I've learned in leadership, but I will tell you right now, I have like totally screwed the pooch in being a leader for a team in the past. Like I've learned how to be a better leader because of experiences as we've gone along and grown. So I had an associate because I wanted to have a baby. Like I wanted to have another child, and I felt that this child needs to arrive here. And so I just thought next steps, right? This is what the next goal is. You know, you get your associate, they come in and they help build your practice. And I'm like, I had nothing for them, like no success plan. Like they're totally set up for failure right out the jump. So the fact that that didn't come together well is not a surprise.
Not a surprise. Yeah.
And then like second associate, I should have just used as a coverage doc. Like there's just so many things that you learn along the way that you're like, you know, just changing of staff is just more of getting dialed in on what you need and what role you need it being filled. How can I help them succeed in their roles? And so that's been kind of the journey the last 3 years, once I've given a little bit more capacity because my husband is now doing a different area of work and he's more available. I was able to pour more into my people. So where I didn't have hardly any time to serve the people in my practice, and
then
also
be a leader.
Be a leader, but even be with my kids. Like it was like, I was like going from one to the other. And because I had that capacity, like that's where I had to give myself so much grace is like, you had to kind of sucked as a leader. And at the same time, you were doing the best that you could with what you got, you know? Totally. And so you live and learn and kind of look in hindsight and have a little bit more perspective, but.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing that we could talk about because I have a client right now that she's like, oh, I just am waiting for the perfect hire. And I'm like, it's very rare that your first associate lasts indefinitely with you. Like I feel very blessed. My associate that I have, my first one I ever hired has been with me. We're celebrating 5 years in May. Super blessed about that. But I'm like, that is not the norm. Like just rip off the Band-Aid and hire your first one, figure out what you like, what you don't like, figure out personality differences. And I view leadership as that in general. when people are even looking to bring on a CA, it's like, you're not going to be the best leader. It's not a muscle that you've ever exercised, right?
Yeah,
and I do think when we're in these positions where we're mentoring other people, or we understand the cohesiveness that it's required to have a team execute, you have a little bit more experience. But when it comes to somebody looking to you for every single answer and wanting you to train them, and then now as you're doing that, you're also paying them what used to be your income, right? And so there's all these mindset things that you have to overcome. And it is a really huge undertaking that I don't think actually gets spoken about enough, because it's a muscle you have to exercise. You're usually going to screw it up the first time you hire somebody. Doesn't matter what role they're in. And also, it's really great to be reflective and be like, hey, where did I drop the ball and where can I improve? Because there's always room for improvement. Even if you're knocking it out of the park, there's room for improvement, you know? And that's one of the things that I think is so great for you to even mention is like, hey, being an entrepreneur, having these practices, I was really good at a lot of things, but if I had to pick where I was dropping the ball, it was definitely in this area.
Yeah.
And also juggling motherhood, like, I have so much grace for my clients that are in the thick of motherhood, just like I am. I got a 2.5-year-old. He is a savage. And I just told my husband even this morning, I'm like, God really makes them cute for a reason. Like, because it is not because they're cooperative or anything else at this age. But it's like navigating all of that and the amount of stress it takes to make sure that you're being a great mom and a great wife and all of that. It's natural that not everything is going to be a 10 out of 10 every day.
No. And I mean, I remember even back when even my son was born, there were certain people, like my CA would come up to me and like, so-and-so's here. And I'm like, who's that? Like, it's like you have mommy brain, but like it's next level. Like you're depleted. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're nursing, like you're giving everything to your child. Even you're just trying to like keep up even under nervous system based care, even under good supplementation, like it's still lack of sleep in having two children. And I give credit to a lot of the moms that are like championing their own practices, or also like, you know, big lead docs and their associates in other practices too, because it's like, you're having to forge, you're having like grit, and you're like, you're doing it, you're running it, you're covering your bases, you're keeping your people fed, loved, all the things, going to practices, doing their activities, having the play dates, and then at the same time doing this other world and making sure that
those people are all taken care of too.
All of them are taken care of, and they're making their play dates and appointments, and they're like, you know, and then also then take the team, and then that's another, like, it's just you're having to stretch in a lot of different places. And I always tell our team, I'm like, I don't do things perfectly. If you see a better way of doing things, like, I want you guys to bring that up to me. I want to know, how can we do things better? Because the way that I've done it doesn't necessarily mean that that's how it's
the best. Yeah. And one thing that I encourage my team too is like, I don't want a yes man on my team. I bring something to you and you're like, yes, 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 yes. No, it's like, okay, do you have a better idea? Or, you know, if I want to implement a new system or a new software, like give me 4 or 5 reasons why it's not going to work, because then it forces me to become a better leader, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I am bringing things to you, I make sure that they are exactly what we're going to implement. And this kind of reminds me of something I said the other day. So I don't change a lot of things in my practice personally. Like our systems have really been our systems for a good amount of time. We're constantly looking to improve them, but I'm not like going in there and being like, oh, we're going to offer this new weight loss thing today, you know? And I really think simple is scalable, and simple is easy, and simple you can train on, and simple you can mentor on. And so I really am apprehensive about how many things I actually change in my office, because I know what we're doing is working. And I've seen it time and time again, when you start generating some success, the practice is doing well, we bring on more team, and then all of a sudden we're doing a slew of different things that we never actually wanted to be doing. And now we're asking ourselves, like, why is it so difficult? Why does this feel so hard? And often it's because we changed so much along the way. But yeah, I agree with team. I think that they can give me feedback just as much as I give them feedback. I think that makes for a great team environment.
Absolutely. And I didn't have that before.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm an individual sport girl. Like, I was in competitive gymnastics. All I needed was to rely on myself. I didn't really like getting into anything with women, honestly, like, you know, basketball, hands in the face, claws out. I'm like, I'm out. Like, I'm out, you know, and just wanted to do it on my own if I could rely on myself. And so that was a big thing, you know, especially with mommyhood and all of it, like asking people for help or delegating things that I've always done. Mm-hmm. It's still a thing. Like, it's mm-hmm. still a thing, because if I hand it to you, are you going to do it well? Like, and we all know, like,
yep.
they can do it, you know, if they can do it 85% of the time, better
it's
than, you know,
good.
It,
yep.
yeah, it, totally. And at the same time, tell my guts that, you know, like, yeah. and so, it's still a thing that I constantly have to go, yeah, I don't need to be doing that. What am I doing?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what, you've got a beautiful new space. What is on the horizon for you as you kind of look ahead the next 2 to 5 years?
Honestly, it's to grow this. Like, it's mm-hmm. to grow what's happening in the four walls here. We're wanting to bring in more additional doctors and have, like, just have this be the hub of health in, mm-hmm. in our area. Like, a lot of our testimonials from our parents are like, I'm so glad that we found you years ago. Like, we would have just run to the pediatrician. We would have just run to, you know, whatever. And I just want that to continue even without me here. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be, like, more ascending. Like, it's not contingent upon my presence. And mm-hmm. a lot of it hasn't been contingent on my presence, but just, I want to be able to contribute to the profession mm-hmm. and win my giftings and be able to do that and do that well, whether that is in communication or branding or anything like that. I don't know if other offices are in the books for me, honestly. Like, being in this spot is, like, I mean, it's different,
like,
if I was
board.
On the
yeah.
yeah, if I was on the outskirts of Dallas, we'd be having a different conversation. I'd be like, satellite here and there and this. And I don't, like, being here is, like, you got to be here, you know? Yeah. And so, and doing life alongside people here, it's like, it's a commitment.
That's a great thing to do, though. As somebody who is in charge of four clinics, I will be on record multiple times saying more is not better. More is not better. Mm-hmm. If you need to hear it again, more mm-hmm. is not better. There mm-hmm. better be a really clear reason why you're opening multiple practices. And it's not yeah. just to do it to say you could do it, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the stress definitely comes with that.
No, I get that.
And what do you see being next for you? Like, I think you're speaking at a couple events coming up in Dallas.
Yes.
And so do you want to keep just pouring back into students and other doctors? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, we have a short-term rental. We have our family management company. Like, there's things that we want to create together. Mm-hmm. Like, me and my husband, our anniversary, it's in January. So we always visioneer kind of like in the new year, basically. Yeah. So we just had our 20th anniversary. And so we,
oh my
like,
God.
Just,
yeah, that's we amazing. Like
married each other when we were 12. But, anyway, shows my age, but we totally just, we just do a visioneering weekend where we're like, what do we want to do this year? What do we want to invest in? Like, what are places that we want to be more impactful? Like, where do we want to allocate these funds towards? And how do we want to set up for the kids? And I love chiropractic. I love mm-hmm. what it does. And I love business, and I want to do more of that as well. So, and I only move where I'm really guided. So mm-hmm. as much as, like, my go-getter wants to go in a place that maybe I don't necessarily need to step into, at least always pray for the discernment to know when to move. And it's just more of like, I know that I'm being prepared for another step, you know, mm-hmm. and knowing that that timing will come, and I will trust that. When that happens, I'll know that that's when we were supposed to do it. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like the bug's always in there, and we always want to create. Mm-hmm. And the more, like, nitty gritty integrating and all that kind of stuff is a little bit not in my zone of genius. I fortunately have been finding people who can do that alongside me that are helpful in the creation process, as I'm sure you know a little bit about that as well. But yeah, I'll be speaking at the Retention Summit for Chiro Intensive with Elise and a couple other fun people. And we do have a really high retention based office. So it's more of like, again, it's all culture. It's all communication. It's all your brand for in your brand longevity. And I love speaking about stuff like that, because I'm like, I can go create something. I'm not good at, like, I wouldn't say I'm not good. I didn't do creation of the office well. Let's just put it that way. So let's say, like, the startup or whatever, like, I can guide some people through startup. I can say a few things and speak into that zone, mainly from a place of, like, I wouldn't do it like that, you know, you know, or where I've come from. But I would say, like, my gifting is in, like, how can you tweak and refine what you're doing now to make your practice better or more like yourself, or simplify it and then be able to watch that grow. And so mm-hmm. that's where I feel like I can speak more into that place for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's an important thing to focus on for sure. That brand longevity. Mm-hmm. In closing, I usually like to ask all of my guests what they think of or what wealthy means to them.
It's a great question. Yeah. I think it's more of the joy in my life. I feel like, you know, wealthy, whereas people can think of like money or whatever, like that's just more of an energetic exchange that allows you to do the things that you want to do. And so I would say wealthy is like my relationships, and wealthy is in my, do I feel fulfilled in my purpose? Like if I'm fulfilled in my purpose and I feel fulfilled in my relationships and fulfilled in that we can do the things that we want to do and the freedom of that, that's what I feel is what's wealthy.
I totally agree. I love that answer. And with that, we'll see you next time, guys. Thanks so much for joining me.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.